Good morning, and again a blessing to be here with each one of you. This morning I'd like to start reading in Luke chapter 15. Start reading in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. If you want a title for this morning, you can put down spiritual orphans. Let's read Luke 15, 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. This was Jesus speaking. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, this morning again, we thank you that you are our Father. And we thank you that your great love is upon us. Unworthy as we are, yet you love us. And I just ask again for your words and for your direction this morning. And I pray that you would help each one of us to learn, to listen, to understand what your Spirit has to say to us, to me personally. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're a personal God.
Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
About 2 weeks ago, I was at one of the saddest funerals I have ever been. It was my brother-in-law's funeral. The funeral of a non-returning prodigal son. It was someone who had good intentions. He had really good intentions. Someone who in the last few months had said, I will return. I'm coming back. If this happens, I will return. You know, that thing did happen. And yet he didn't return. And I think just again spoke a lot to me. And I thought especially in this, there is a lesson for us all that a prodigal does not return until he actually does. Good intentions will never get us where we should be. We have to, like the prodigal son, say, I will arise. And then act on that. Because as long as we stay there with the pigs and don't get off of our seat and arise, we'll stay right there. And this might seem obvious to us. And yet I know a lot of people who are just like that. And they seem happy in knowing that they have made the decision that someday they will return. Or someday they will make a decision for Christ. Or someday they will change. But they don't. And the devil knows that if he can keep us in that position, sooner or later he might have the chance of having us in his camp for eternity. Now here we have the story of two sons. A prodigal son. And another son. If we think a little bit about the background of the story, as I understand the Jewish culture, the oldest son used to get a double portion of the inheritance. That's because not only did he get his portion, but the other portion was because he was responsible for anyone in the family, in the clan, who needed help. And so he was the one who was responsible to also take care of the mother or any other women and children. So here with these two sons, the youngest son took a third and left. And then the other two portions remained for the son who stayed. I don't think it's a secret to any one of us that we live in a world that is broken, in a world where there is lots and lots of pain. So much pain, so many hurts. But what do we do with these things? The pressures of life are all around us, and it continues to push in on us. It's interesting that whenever there's pain, the body tries to find a release for it. Whenever there is, maybe I should say, pain always seeks pleasure. It seeks an out, but a lot of times, interestingly enough, the outs, the way out of my pain, actually puts me into more pain. So you can go out and you can drink, and it'll help you forget. And as you're partying and as you're doing those things, it'll make you forget for the moment. But what about tomorrow morning? What about the hangover? Pain seeks pleasure. But many times that pleasure goes right into becoming a thing of slavery. And I think that's why we have an unprecedented problem on our hands today as it relates to addictions. Drugs, alcohol, immorality, pornography, those are all outs. Those are all ways to deal with pain. And yet, they don't deal with the pain. They don't deal with the core issue. They don't help us truly overcome. And they don't truly give us lasting satisfaction. And in my brother-in-law's case, it was an overdose. In a concoction of who knows what all. Because when they were doing tests, they found alcohol and meth and marijuana, and there was at least one more that they mentioned, and then there are a few other substances that they had no clue what it was. A man seeking an out. A man seeking relief for his pain.
Yet it was the wrong kind of relief. Pain will never go away by doing things or having things or taking things. The only way that we can ever come to true and lasting peace is to do what the prodigal son did. He accepted his father's love. And if we think about it, the prodigal's father never quit loving him. While he was out partying, while he was out there with the pigs, while he was running around with harlots, the father never quit loving him. But you know what? That love was totally useless until the son said, "I will accept it." God's love for us as a father is totally useless until we allow him to love us. And until we accept his love for us. Because he's going to continue loving us. It's in our response to him. Are we going to love him as he loves us? We can all be like the prodigal son. We can all return to his love, to the Father's love. We can all return to the Father's embrace. And as we look at the story, see if you find the verse there. Yeah, in verse 20, he says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." How long had the father been looking down the road, watching, waiting, hoping for his son to come back? I think it was ever since he opened the door and went down the road. Ever since then, his father was there waiting until he would return. The father knew that the son needed to return. But the son at that point did not understand his need. The father understood that his son needed that love. But the son thought there were other ways to receive the love that he wanted. It's a beautiful story, and it's something that can be a reality for you. It can be a reality for me. Accepting the Father's love and his embrace in our lives. Now, I don't know if you are like me, But I have heard the story of the prodigal son many, many, many times. But very little mention is generally made of the good son. In passing. And the focus is on the one who left and how bad he was and how he came back. And like I said, that is a beautiful story. But what about the other son? What about him? Living as the older brother is hard. Which one is worse? Rebellion or religion? A stern religious observing of our duties is as sinful as if we would be a non-returning prodigal son. And here's the reason why. Both are running from the Father's love. See, God's Father heart and His love for us yearns to have a relationship with us. Not just a religious assent to, this is what I should do. But He wants a relationship. He wants a relationship with the older son. He also wants a relationship with the prodigal son. And everyone reacts to trauma and pain in a different way. Interestingly enough, as I was speaking at that funeral, I had in front of me a body of the dead. I had some non-returning prodigal sons, and I had some older brothers sitting in that audience. And every last one of them was running from the very same pain. And every one of us reacts differently to pain and to trauma. Some of us choose to run from it. Some of us choose to become religious. But some choose the Father's love. Like I said earlier, you know, we can be a prodigal son. Some people do that. Some people become religious. But you know what? Both are pain-driven. Because we're not dealing with the very core issues in our life. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in condemnation or in exacting performance. If you are a performer, if that's what you live by and live, and that's your life, you're a Pharisee. But that very same thing is what makes it so hard to see it, especially in ourselves. It looks so good, and it looks so right, and especially in us. But it's not what God wants. If you ever want to do a fascinating study, the New Testament study, what Jesus told the Pharisees and the religious folks of his day. And then look at the people who were returning to God. Jesus dealt totally different with them. Jesus had totally different words for the one versus the other. And for myself, you know, for many years, and I probably shared it with some of you, I was an extreme perfectionist. And I used to cross my T's and dot my I's. And I would kick myself for not living up to the expectations that I had for myself. And I kicked myself for not living up to the expectations of what I thought other people expected of me. And I still remember the day when that hit home. And I dropped down on my knees and I cried. And I accepted the Father's love into that area of my life. And it changed. It changed a lot of things. It even changed some of my relationships. And I'd been a Christian for years. But the day that hit home, was another one of those amazing days. When God does something powerful in your heart. I'd been a child of God. But in that particular thing, I was still an orphan. In that particular thing, I had no father. I had not accepted his love in that thing. And this week, I was just asking God for areas of my life where I might still be an orphan. And interestingly enough, he brought to mind the verse there in 1 John 2, verse 15. It's what was read in the devotional this morning. And I was amazed, brother, of how the Lord speaks. and he prepared the brother to do the introduction to this message. First John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. If there are any other loves, or we can call them idols, I can't love the Father. And if there's something in my life that I have not given up, if there's an area in my life that I have not released, I can't have victory, and I also can't accept the Father's love in it. And in my case, some of the things that I had to give up this week, some of them were actually legitimate. But I still had to give them up. I still had to allow God to have them. Anything that comes between me and God makes me an orphan in that thing, in that area of my life. I can't love the Father and love that thing at the same time. It's impossible. And it's only until I accept the Father's love in that area of my life that I will have peace and I will have contentment. As I'm yearning, as I'm longing for something other than what I should have, just take, for instance, a drug addiction. Longing for something, and your body craves it to the point where you're a slave to it. It's until you take care of that craving and allow something else to replace that craving is when you'll be done with the addiction. And the same way with our lives. Anything that I crave, that I desire, that I shouldn't have, comes right back to this issue. I have not dealt with that part of it. I have not allowed the Father's love into that area of my life. Because when I love the Father and I love what He tells me to do, and I love His word and I do it, until that becomes a reality in my life, in that particular area, I will always struggle with wanting that thing. Like we heard this morning, you know, Eve would not have had to desire that fruit, but she did.
You know, the prodigal son spent his inheritance on harlots. And that's what the older son said. He said, there he went. He wasted it all. And he wasted it on harlots. But I had to think that any area of my life that I don't give up is my harlot. It's spiritual adultery. And it's spiritual orphancy. I become an orphan in that area of my life. And I'm not here saying that we can continue living that way. Because God brings those things to mind so that we deal with them. Unfortunately, many times we don't see it. In my case, with some of the things I've dealt with, and I'm sure you have too. You've lived like this for so long, you don't really think about it, that this is what you're dealing with until all of a sudden one day, bang, here it is. At that point, it's up to us, our decision. What are we going to do with that area of our life? Are we going to continue being orphans? Are we going to continue running? Or will we accept the Father's love? And the Bible is very, very clear about our Heavenly Father's love for us. And He offers a fulfilling and an all-inclusive love. 1 John 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not Him. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. God doesn't want us to continue living the life of an orphan. Not a rebellious orphan. Not a religious orphan. He wants us, and He has called us, to be sons and daughters. Think about it. Sons and daughters of the King of the universe. That's what He's called us to. Amazing that I, through faith and acceptance of His love, can become His child. And He wants that relationship. That's what we were created for. We were created to be His children. Everybody in this world was created for that purpose, to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And yet how few are prodigal sons that return. How few. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, this is what He tells each one of us. Come, I'll give you that. Prodigal sons, older brothers, whoever we are invited to come back. We are invited to quit being orphans. And just imagine,
What if there would be an orphan living out on the streets? And here's a place where he can go and become a part of a family. Going from ragged clothes and sleeping on a piece of cardboard, he can come into this house and he can have all the food he wants to eat. He can have all the clothes he needs. He can have a nice bed to sleep in. Do you think any child in his right mind would turn this down? He wouldn't. Absolutely no way. Yet if we look at the spiritual side, how many people continue to being orphans? They continue in orphancy, out there desiring to eat even the food that the pigs are eating, but they don't even get that. Living with the pigs and yet not being satisfied. How many people and how many of us might be there? Yet God calls us to the abundance and to the blessing, to the peace of His love. Every one of us is invited. But we have to make that decision. Will we step through? And by the way, we're also going to need to take a shower. We're going to have to get cleaned up. And that right there is where a lot of people don't make that spiritual decision, is because they look at all their junk and they look at all their rags and all their dirt, and some of them say, I'd never be accepted there, but others say, you know what, I'd rather have this because this is all I've ever known. And we're not willing to let go of this thing. And it's all an illusion. Think about it. The prodigal son was there watching the pigs eat. He was there with the pigs. He was there with their food. And yet, he was not satisfied. And that's exactly what happens to anyone who runs. That is exactly what happens to any of us if we do not accept the Father's love. We will continue to yearn and desire, but we won't be satisfied. But God has a plan for each one of us. And God desires for each one of us to come into the house, to get cleaned up, put the new robe on, to feel His embrace and to feel His smile on us. That's what He desires. And to then rejoice and be here, a part of the family. But like I said before, a lot of us, many times, don't want to let go of this thing. How do we know that what I'm giving up here is going to be better over here? What if I give up my rags?
Will I have something better?
What if I give up my dirt?
Will I have something better?
How do I know it's true?
It's here again, interesting about this concept of what is the world that Brother Amos talked about this morning. What is the world? And then we go to John 3:16. And I'd like for us all to say it together, and I'd like for us to think about it. The world. What is the world? Who is the world? What is the world in me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. God so loved Dimo. God so loved each one of us. And he loved us with an undying love. And he's telling each one of us, come, come to that love. Accept it. It's personal. It's personal. And he wants each one of us to have that in all areas of our life. Not just part of it. He wants all of us. And he wants all of us to be in his family. It's up to us to accept it or not. But if we do, we can become sons and daughters. Amazing. Us, sons and daughters of the King. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you. You're so good. Amazing how you love us. Even though we are unworthy, and even though for so long we have lived with the pigs, yet you love us. Father, continue to do your work in each one of us. We want to be your sons and your daughters. We want to have your love in each area of our life. Again, we want to thank you, and we want to praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.